Hey, welcome to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative professionals looking to grow by learning new things, getting inspired, and breaking down the barriers that prevent them from doing the work they were born to do. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to episode 57, Building a Production Pipeline. Show notes for this episode are available at gwtw.co/57. Are you looking for more tips on how to get your work to work? Sign up for the Curiosity Lab, my weekly email newsletter at thecuriositylab.net or at the bottom of each show's page. Every newsletter is hand-delivered straight to your inbox on Mondays and brings stories and inspiration designed to spark your creativity and curiosity. All right, you ready to get into this topic? Let's get started. One of the questions that I often ask clients is a question that I ask in the podcast interviews that you've been listening to, and it's, what are you excited for? And recently, a client, after asking it, turned the question on to me and asked me what I was excited for. And I mentioned this podcast and just how I've been growing a lot doing it. And so he asked a follow-up question. He asks, have you built a pipeline yet, or are you still producing episodes just in time? This is not the first time I've heard that concept of pipeline versus just-in-time production. Noah of Noah University is a firm believer in building a pipeline for your art so that you can schedule it and really use the time that you would be spending each week producing your content in producing work that matters. And 9 years ago, I was working on a project team out at Boeing Portland, and we were producing a training platform for their production system. And one of the modules that we were working on was their concept of just-in-time production. If you're making an airplane, if you're making a film, if you're making something that's going to take a lot of time and money, just-in-time production makes a lot of sense. But for me, this podcast is something that, you know, I can actually schedule out ahead of time so that I'm not filling each week with producing the content of the week. My hesitation in building this pipeline has always been centered around this idea of, what if I don't feel the episode? What if I don't feel the topic that I'm talking about? Because I really like to pour in my emotion and really take the time to reflect on current issues that I'm dealing with. And the interesting thing is, by approaching each episode each week, it assumes that I only have the same thought each week. But I don't know about you, but things are a little bit more complicated in my head. So sometimes I might be wrestling with two concepts or three topics or four topics. And so instead of feeling pressure, instead of feeling that I only have to do one at a time and hope that I might remember the hesitation or the emotion in this topic next week, I can just get them all taken care of in one sitting. But what does this do? This requires me to plan. It's one thing when it's just me talking into a microphone for 10 minutes. That's one level of planning that's really easy to accommodate. I make an outline. I maybe set my folders up in the Finder, and I just go for it. But once I've added weekly interviews into the mix, planning is crucial because I have to find people that I'm going to talk to, and I definitely don't want them to feel the pressure of scheduling something that immediately needs to get done. Now, sometimes it might happen to where I'll have multiple interviews in a week, but then I have the luxury to, because of my scheduling and planning, to spread it out over time. One final thought about building a production pipeline is that it helps me to be focused on being proactive instead of being reactionary to my schedule. It keeps me open to new opportunities because I'm not spending all my time producing content, and it really gives the opportunity to do more with seemingly less. I want to share 5 steps that you can use to build a production pipeline for yourself. First, identify what can be produced ahead of time and what needs to be done just in time. For me, blog posts, podcasts, episodic material, anything that isn't reliant upon a lot of external feedback and review can really become something that is produced at the beginning of the month and scheduled throughout. And that's what NOAA in NOAA University really advocates for, is that you have blog posts, you have tweets, you have content that you need to schedule, newsletters. And so figure that out so that you can get that taken care of at the beginning. So what is just-in-time work? Just-in-time work is client work, because it's hard to know what you should be producing if you don't have it yet. You don't necessarily want to be producing websites that you might not be getting paid for. That's called a side project. And we talk about that in episode 58 coming out on Friday. Second, document your processes so that when it comes time to produce, you know exactly what you need to do. For this podcast, I know that if it's an interview, I'm going to need to do some pre-interview or some research on the subject, come up with some questions, prepare the file system for organization because, you know, I like to stay organized, create the artwork, create the writing, create the posts, write the scripts for the intros, outros. It's all part of the process that helps me build this production pipeline. Third, curate material that you can draw from when it's time to create. This is something that I use Twitter for extensively. When I come across something that I just want to share in a newsletter, I'm going to press the like button. If it's a quote that I've read in a book, I'm going to write it down in my notebook. And it's really about creating this material that at one point is standing out that you know that you're going to want to share. I do this with stories, with moments in the classroom, moments with clients, because anything in my life is going to be fodder, for the most part, for something that I produce. And so the more content that you can curate over time, the more you're going to have to draw from as you produce and build this production pipeline. Fourth, produce your content and schedule its release based upon what is called an editorial calendar. For me, an editorial calendar is just a sheet of paper that says, these are the dates of the next 2 months. This is who the interviews could be. This is what the topics could be. And that calendar might change, but I'm going to produce content based on an initial kind of rough draft, and then use the scheduling abilities in WordPress and in MailChimp to really prepare the release of the podcast and the blogging and the newsletters without having to worry about it anymore. Fifth and finally, spend time making changes by reflecting upon what has worked and what hasn't. If you spend all your time preparing content, you may have less time to devote to really knowing what's working, what isn't. When you produce all this content at the beginning of the month, then you have the rest of the month to really reflect and change for the next month's production of content. That does it for this episode of Getting Work to Work. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. It means so much to me that you are here. Would you be willing to share Getting Work to Work with your friends and other creative professionals? You can even subscribe on iTunes and Android devices by clicking the subscription links found at gwtw.co. Keep in touch by sending me an email. I'm chris@chrismartinstudios.com, or you can find me on most social networks. I'm at CM Studios or at GWTW Podcast on Twitter, at Chris Martin Studios on Facebook, and at CM Studios on Instagram. You know, I was thinking about something a couple of weeks ago. If the work is easy, it's time to solve bigger problems for new clients. How are you pushing yourself beyond your current comfort zone? Until then, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.